Morning. Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf chav tes. That's yesterday's daf. I'm behind. Today's daf is daf lamed. We're a little bit behind, so I'm going to move a little quickly today, try to catch up. Shabbos is coming, and in general, Shabbos is already challenging. So, let's move. We started yesterday the basic sugya in the Gemara of Pigel, and we got through a good part of the sugya of Pigel. We're going to get to the Mishnah today on Chav Tes Amud Beis. That shouldn't be challenging. And from the Mishnah, we continue with the discussion of Pigel. What we learned yesterday is a big drush of Rava. Rava cited the pasuk in Parshat Tzav by Pigel, and he learned out 10 halachas from Pigel. I'd like to go over all 10 of them. I'm just time's not going to allow. So just know that in terms of the basic source of Pigel, so it's derived through the pasuk in Parshat Tzav, Perek Zayin. I think pasuk in Ches. Then the Gemara goes and quotes a brisa, Tanur Rabbanan. So let's just quickly review. We're on Chav Tes Amud Aleph, right in the middle of the page. Tanur Rabbanan ve'im he'achal ye'echem mi'besar zevach shlama v'amir Rabbi Elazar chof aznecha l'shmoa. So Rabbi Elazar says, pay careful attention now, because I'm going to tell you, because we made this observation already a couple of times. The pasuk by Pigel does not sound like it's talking about the machshava took place during the shechita or the kabbalas adam or the halacha or the zrika, but rather talks about eating the meat on the third day. So Rabbi Elazar says, pay careful attention. I want you to listen. The Torah is talking about where you had a machshava when you shechted it, that you're going to eat it on the third day. Now, Rabbi Elazar says, look, I know you can take another side. Maybe the pasuk is actually talking about eating it on the third day. Amarta. So Rabbi Elazar says, no. So Rabbi Elazar says, I don't understand, because how is it possible that it's kosher, and then 3 days later, because you eat it, when it's nosar, now that we're going to look back at the carbon retroactively, and we're going to call into question the validity of the carbon, it doesn't make any sense. So Amalo Rabbi Kivas, Rabbi Kivas says to Rabbi Eliezer, Hain, what are you talking about? Sure, Metzina Bezav, Zavashamaris, Yom Keneged Yom, Shehain Becheskas Tahara, Vekemisharao, Sisro. It's not true. We do find that we go back retroactively, and because in the world of Tuma, we find that a person can tov on the mikvah, has to wait until nightfall, but if in the case of Zavazava, Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, where they have a discharge later in the day, it's not going to just make them tummy now, it's going to take them back retroactively from earlier in the day.
They were in the mikvah.
Right. Even though they already told them in the mikvah. Avatal titmalzah. So Rabbi Akiva says it's not a problem. Now, Rabbi Akiva is comparing Chuma to Kachim, okay, two different Siddurim in Shas, but still, just on a concept level, conceptually, it can happen. So al tidma zealza shalfa pishuchshir shiachzav v'ipasol. So amr lo harehu amr hamakriv. Yes, Rabbi Eliezer says. Still, it says hamakriv, which is b'shas hakrava hu nifsal v'ena nifsal b'shlishi. Everything is contingent on the shas hakrava, on the time that you are makriv. Oino amr hamakriv elazekoh and hamakriv. So maybe hamakriv means it's a question on the kohen, meaning that the kohen who creates pigel, maybe he becomes pasul. Pishu amr oso b'zevach u'medaber v'ena medaber b'kohen. No, because it says b'zevach. Sorry, when it says oso, when the pasuk says oso, we know that it's talking specifically about the carbon. The carbon becomes disqualified, not the kohen. Yes, the kohen did an error in creating pigel, but the disqualification is on the carbon, not the kohen. Now we're continuing in the brisa. Ben Azay Omer. Now, what Ben Azay is going to do over here is make a really, what seems to be a random point, but he's using the word oso of this pasuk. So the Gemara quotes now the opinion of Ben Azay, even though it's not related to our discussion of Pigel. Ben Azay Omer oso matam olam lefish nemer lo se'achir l'shamo. We know that there's something called bal te'achir. You make a pledge. You say you're going to bring a carbon. You have to bring it. Not only do you have to bring it, but you're on the clock. First row, one of the first sugyas in Rosh Hashanah talks about how long a time do you have to bring it? 3 regalim, 4 regalim, 5 regalim. Okay, but whatever the case is, you're on the clock. If you do not bring it within a certain time, you violate the Isser in the Torah of Baal Te'acher. Lo Se'acher L'Shamo. You delay it. Now, good. So let's say you pledge you're going to bring a carbon. You then didn't make it under the time constraints. You were overdue. So now, I might have thought such a carbon should be disqualified. Benazeh says, huh?
You get mounted, but it's a lashon b'masa.
So yachol af me'acher nidro b'lo yeratzeh. I might have thought that the carbon now should be disqualified. Tamalomer, oh so below yiratzeh ve'ena me'acher nidro below yiratzeh. So Benazeh says, look, here in Pigel world, which is where we are in Sav, this becomes disqualified. The Torah says the word oh so, it's exclusionary. This becomes disqualified, not the carbon of the Baal Te'acher. Acher Momer, we're going to come back to Benazeh a little bit later on. Obviously, that's the point that is really out of left field, meaning it's not connected at all to Pigel. But he does dash in the word oso, that's why he comes in over here. Acherim omim lo yichashib ha-machshavu nifsa v'ina nifsa b'shlishi. Acherim over here is giving another explanation, meaning, right, look at the Braisa in its whole form. The first part of the Braisa was dealing with the basic question. How do I know that the Torah is not talking about eating the meat on the third day? How do I know that it's talking about having a machshava of eating the meat on the third day when you're shechting or doing one of the essential avodas? So Rabbi Eliezer starts off the discussion with, I'm telling you it's based on, and he offers the retroactive argument, we can't go back retroactively. Then he offers the Oso argument, which Benazeh disagrees with. But the first opinion in the Braisa was Rabbi Eliezer. Now Acherim come into the Braisa and they say, no, I'll tell you why we know it's question of Machshava, because the Torah says, Lo yechashev. B'machshava hu nifsa v'ina nifsa b'shlishi. Period. Okay, so that's the end of the Braisa. So again, an entire Braisa, long, an entire braisa dedicated to the basic question, how do I know Pigel is all about machshava? How do I know Pigel is not about eating the carbon on the third day? Good.
Does the machshava make a difference if it's the shaygig or the main?
I don't think so.
Because didn't know that he couldn't.
I understand. I don't think so.
So for somebody to eat Pigel, they have to know what the machshava of the coin was?
Again, machshava, we're going to always assume, although I saw the Rambam is somewhat of a discussion of what he holds, but we will always assume machshava means verbalizing. He has to articulate what he's thinking. Otherwise, we'd have to be mind readers.
No,
right.
No, but when he's doing Zerika, for example,
right.
How would the Israelite?
Because he would say, "I'm sprinkling
they
it."
They would hear it. I mean, they are not.
Somebody would hear it, or he'll say afterwards, "This is what I said."
Does two people have to hear him say that?
Right. I don't know. This is Adus. No, it's a fair question. It's not a bad question. It's a fair question. I don't know. I don't know. Uvenazai. Now, here, the Gemara is going to tie up a lot of loose ends that come out of the Braisa. For example, Benazai. How does he know that this is all about the carbon and not about the Kohen? Right? And so you'll tell me, what do you mean, Oso? No, remember, Benazai took the word Oso, used the word Oso. So, So the Gemara says, so he'll darshan the way the Acherim darshan, but Yom HaShlishi, and as Rashi explains over here, Yom HaShlishi for sure is going on the meat, not going on the Kohen. That's one avenue. Or you could just simply say, Lo Yiratzeh, which is always talking about the carbon. We never use the Torah, never uses the terminology Lo Yiratzeh, talking about a person. Okay, what's one of two ways that Benazeh can arrive at the same conclusion? Pigel is about the carbon, not about the Kohen. Kohen doesn't become disqualified. Now the Gemara is going to point out that we have multiple sources for this halacha that Benazeh quotes. Meaning, Benazeh taught us a halacha that if you're ma'achar nidro, if you delay your neder, you say you're going to bring a carbon and then you don't bring it. And a year and a half later, 2 years later, you say, you know, I pledged, I got to bring it, even though I violated the Issa and the Torah of Baal Te'acher. Right? I delayed. Nevertheless, I'll still bring my carbon, and the carbon's acceptable. How do I know that? So Benazeh learned it from the word Oso here by Pigel. The Gemara says there's other places where we learn the same halacha. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa Acher Mamim Yachli Hei Bechor. She ibrash naso kipsule hamugdashim vipasel. Firstborn animals, the bechor. There is an entire masechta dedicated to the topic of bechoros. It's called bechoros. We'll get to it later on in Kachim, instead of Kachim. So the firstborn animal is the bechor. Firstborn animal has to be brought up onto the mizbeach. First given to a kohen, brought up onto the mizbeach. One of the matnas kahuna. Good. It's supposed to be brought within the first year of its life. Supposed to. Torah says, should bring it within the first year of the life. I might have thought that if, let's say, I let the bechor sit in my house for a year, over a year. So I might have thought, right, kasa kadarcha, we would have had havamina, that's like psule hamukdashim, it's like it has a blemish. And therefore it's possible. Tamalomar v'achalt ofnei Hashem lakecha maaser degancha. Right, mekish bechor lamaiser. The Torah gives us a hekish between bechor and meister. Now we know malamaser and nifsa mishan lachaverta. Meister does not become disqualified at the end of the year. How do I know that? Mm-hmm. Rashi says because we have this thing called beer meiser. At the end of the third year, at the end of the sixth year, we know we have to destroy our meiser. So at the end of every year, meiser does not become disqualified. Until the end of the third year, until the end of the sixth year. Good. But at least we know at the end of every year it doesn't become disqualified. I'll say the same thing by Bechor. At the end of the year it does not become disqualified. Bechor, ain't no nifsa, mishan l'chaverta. So good. So, but what do you see over here? You see that we have a drasha that teaches us that even though something was after its due date, nevertheless it's acceptable. So, Benazai, why do you need to darshan the word oso? When clearly over here we have this concept that something that came in after its due is still acceptable. Look, I might have thought that had I only had that drasha, it'd be limited to Bechor, because there's no Hartzah. Bechor is not Mechaper. It's a carbon, but there's no atonement with Bechor. But by Kachim in general, where there is atonement, where there is Hartzah, so lowly, so I might have thought, look, a bechor I could bring as a carbon, right? It's not a pointless carbon, but it's a carbon without ritsui. So I might have thought that only works for carbon without ritsui, but with carbon with ritsui may not work. Kamash malan. So the Gemara says that's why now I have the drasha of Benazai of the word oso. I guess you can ask the other way. Once we have the drasha of the Benazai oso. So then why do I need the drasha by Bechor? The Gemara doesn't ask that question. Okay. The Gemara says, wait a second, we have another drasha, which again signals the same point, that if I'm delayed, the problem's with me, not with the carbon. The Torah says, by the Isser of Lo Se'acher, v'haya b'chachet, you're going to have the sin, but the carbon's still going to be fine. V'lo b'karbon chachet. So Benazai, don't you have that pasuk? So Benazai, haumi ba'elev, ayah b'chachet v'lo b'ishtachachet. So the Gemara says, no, Benazai says, no. V'haya b'chachet is talking about you and not your wife. Salkadat ha'amina, ho v'amar Rabbi Eliezer, v'item Rav Yochanan, and ishto shalad, the meitzta ele im kein, mevakshim imenu mamon ve'ein lo. Right? A powerful Gemara here. A man's wife dies, because somebody goes over to the man and says, do you have? And he says, no, I don't. Right? And as a result of that, so his wife dies. I'll explain better. Just give me a moment. Shenamar im ein lecha l'shalem lama yikach mashkach mishkavcha mitachtecha. Why would they take your wife from under you? So the Gemara says, good. So, not good. I mean, nothing good. Terrible. But I'm only saying good in the sense that I know what Benazai does with this pasuk. Benazai learns from this pasuk that the bechache, the sins on you, it's not talking about you to the exclusion of your carbon, it's talking about you to the exclusion of your wife. You have the sin, but your wife doesn't have the sin. So, b'hai avin d'bal te'achar nama meisa, I might have thought that if that once we know that your wife is going to be culpable for some of your sins, so I might have thought, including that Baal Te'achir, Kamashman, the Gemara says that's the Chiddush of the Torah, Becha, you and not your wife. Now, what was the issue that the Gemara was talking about? meaning that we know that your wife is sometimes liable, right, culpable for some of your wrongdoings, what's the Gemara talking about? So the Gemara's example was somebody goes over to you for money and you say I don't have. Did you owe? What was going on over there? So Rashi says, "V'lo b'kabancha chait." No, not that Rashi. Rashi mevakshim imenu. Rashi says someone comes over to you and asks you for money. Mamono shegazal, money you stole. All right. So in other words, Rashi here paints a picture. You're a thief, and someone comes over to you and someone says to you, "Okay, I'd like my money back," and you say, "I don't have it." Okay, and that's the chait that we're talking about, the failure to repay money that you yourself stole, and that's how Rashi understands the Gemara. And as a result of that, your wife dies.
Still, delaying, same thing with delay. With
and correct, and that's the flow of the Gemara exactly. And then I would have thought that delaying your pledge is also a sin. So that Gemara says that's the Kamash Malan. Okay, it's unclear from Rashi. Just throwing it out there. It's unclear from Rashi, meaning you didn't pay because you don't have the money. You didn't pay because, right, you had the money but you lied. Like what? I don't fully understand the full context of you know. The stealing already was wrong. I mean, that we got. But the failure to repay is because you didn't have money. You did, but you lied. I'm not 100% clear about what the content.
Otherwise, why would his wife die? Can't repay for it.
Right.
He has, but he doesn't want to pay, so his wife is...
Right, okay. Okay. And
everybody agrees with Rabbi Yochanan that his wife would die if he steals money.
I'll tell you what everyone doesn't agree with. Everyone doesn't agree with Rashi. Tosos gives another explanation of what the person's sin was. But yes, in other words, the concept in general that a wife is responsible for some of her husband's actions, which is why the wife always corrects the husband, because she knows that she's responsible. You understand how it works. I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry. Okay, I know it's on tape. I know. I don't know. Okay. But these are fair questions, though. They're totally legitimate questions. Gemara does not give us a lot of information about this. Okay, so the Acherim Omrim. Okay, Acherim Omrim b'machshava hu nifsal ve'eino nifsal b'shlishi. Right? Yeah. So again, we're just one more point before we move on to the new Mishnah. We quote the opinion of Acherim again. How do I know that the Isser of Pigel is all about machshava, and it's not about eating the meat on the third day? So the Acherim say, "B'machshava u'nifsa v'ena nifsa b'shlishi." V'Rabbi Elazar lo yichashev mayavid lei. What does Rabbi Eliezer do with lo yichashev? So mibay lei lecha de Rabbi Yana. Damer Rabbi Yana minayin lemachshava shemotzio zumizu. How do I know that one machshava can uproot another machshava? Shenemar lo yichashev lo ye'arevo machshavos acheros. You can't have mixtures of machshavas, meaning that in order for it to be pigal, it has to be the singular machshava of chutzos mano. If I mix in, if I sprinkle in a little bit of other, couple of other machshavas, it's not pigal.
Like what?
Like chutzim kamo, like
and
chutzim kamo, which is the next Mishnah, or chutzos mano and shinui kodesh, right? It's an ola, and I think it's a shlamim. What about Malkus? What about Malkus for creating pigol? So Rav Yanai says like this, you get Malkus. How do I know that? Tamar lomar, lo yechashev. Torah says it's an iser, it's a lav. Now everybody should jump up right now and say, yes, it's a lav, but no action, no maisa. How are you going to get Malkus? So Amalei Rav Ashi, next question on the Gemara. Amalei Rav Ashi, Rav Mari, Lav Shein Bo Maisa Hu. B'chol Lav Shein Bo Maisa Ein Lokin Alav. Come on. You know you don't get Malkus for for Lav Shem Bamaisa. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda he. Yeah, there is a Tana. We don't pask in this way. We don't follow this. But there is a Tana that says that yes, you do get Malkus, even though it's a Lav Shem Bamaisa. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Shavuos not that long ago. We were doing the Gemara in Shavuos. The Gemara in Shavuos brings down the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that when it comes to the Isser of Nosar, leaving over meat, Rabbi Yehuda says you don't get Malkus. But why? Because there's another way to repair that which you've done wrong, burn the Nosar. Had it not been for that, Rabbi Yehuda says, you would have gotten Malkus. Right? The Gemara says over there, what do you mean? It's a Lav Shem B'maisa. Rabbi Yehuda says, good. I maintain you get Malkus for a Lav Shem B'maisa. I'm sorry, Lav Shem B'maisa, Lokan Alav. Good, period. Okay. Good. So that ends our... The first part of today, really the end of yesterday's daf, and that is the conclusion of discussion of Pigel. Okay. Not the conclusion. it's just the beginning. All right. We've learned this rule already, but it's the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is going to explain to us what we've already know, and that is Pigel has to be a singular thought in the process. And, this is so important, the process has to be completed correctly. Okay, so in other words, the only way Pigel works. Now remember, Pigel's an Isser. You're not allowed to create Pigel. But the only way it becomes effective, where I render the animal Pigel, is only if A, I have a Machshav of Pigel to the exclusion of any other Machshava, and B, I did everything else correctly. Then and only then. So it's really limited in terms of when a carbon becomes Pigel. And the Mishnah over here is going to be very, very clear. Right, super clear. The Mishnayos and Zvachim, the one thing about them that makes them unique is that they spell everything out. Right, much more so. I don't know if I'm qualified to say that, but it seems like I'll say it like this. It seems like more so than other Mishnayos where it spells everything out. Zaklal. Puzzle. If when I do one of the avodas, shecht, receive, walk, sprinkle, one of the four avodas, and I think now that I'm going to consume something which I normally consume, meaning the meat, or I burn something on the mizbech that's normally burnt, meaning the imurim, and as we already pointed out earlier in the Masechta, our Mishnah is of the opinion that there's no crossover. Meaning, I can't think about eating the Amorim, and I can't think about the Mizbeach eating the meat. Right? I got to keep the consumers separate. If the thought is that it's going to be consumed outside of the right place, which if it's kachim means outside of the Azara. If it's kachim kalim means it's outside of Yerushalayim, so then pasal v'ein bo karis. That's chutzim komo. You disqualify the karban. But that's not curries, because that's not pigol. Chutz mano pigol v'chayavin alav curries. Uvilvad, and here the Mishnah spells it out. Shiyakriv hamatir kemitzvah so. Everything else has to be done correctly. Ketzad, the Mishnah says. Let me illustrate all this.
Quick question: chutz l'makom and chutz l'zmano are the same. Everything has to be done in order to make it possible, or it's possible. Never mind.
No, it's not. What do you mean? Chutzim komo. Chutzim
komo.
To
make
the
korban possible. Does everything have to be done?
Well, if everything is not done correctly, so then it's possible anyway.
Oh.
So, in other words, even though, we'll say like this, even though everything was done, but because you had a chutzim komo machshava, so you've disqualified it. So, Kate said, Krava matikim mitzvah so shacha b'shtika. Kiba v'halach v'zar chutzim zmano. So, let's say that when you shechted, you were quiet. You didn't say anything. You were good. And then, Kabbalah Halacha Zrika was Chutz Lizmano. Oh, Sheshachad Chutz Lizmano, you shechted with an intent of Chutz Lizmano. V'kibah v'halach v'zarek b'shtika. Oh, Sheshachad v'kibah v'halach v'zarek Chutz Lizmano. Zeu shemakriv amatik kemitzvah so. Good. So in all those cases, one of the avodas, many of the avodas, as long as you did all the avodas, and the only machshava you had was a machshava's pigol, so then you fulfilled the rule of makriv hamatir kimitzvah. So you did it correctly, which now means it's eligible for pigol. Ketzah lo krav amater kimitzvah. So, what are examples where I didn't fulfill this rule, right? I didn't, it's not eligible for pigel. Let's say when I shechted, I had the machshava chutzim kamo outside the prescribed place, and then during a subsequent avoda, I do chutzim mano. Oh, sheshechah chutzim mano kibah bahalach v'zar chutzim kamo. Oh, sheshecha v'kibah bahalach v'zar chutzim kamo. Hapesach v'hakata sheshechtem shelo lishman. The kibel the halach v'zar chutz mano, or let's say I do another machshava that disqualifies, like the pesach and chatas, where I shecht it with a shinui kodesh, right? I shecht the karm pesach and I say I'm shechting this as a karbonola, boom, disqualified. First Mishnah we learned in our Masechta. Oh, sheshach chutz mano kibel v'halach v'zarach shelo lishman. Oh, sheshach v'kabel v'halach v'zarach daman shelo lishman. Zehu shelo krav amatir kimitzvaso. And consequently, in all those cases, it's not pigel. Of course, it's disqualified. It's puzzle, but it's not pigel. Lechol kizayis b'chutz, kizayis l'macher, kizayis l'macher, kizayis b'chutz. Kechatzi zayis b'chutz, kechatzi zayis l'machar, kechatzi zayis l'machar, kechatzi zayis b'chutz, pasul v'ein bo kares. If I think about how I'm going to eat one kezayis outside, outside the prescribed place, one kezayis outside the prescribed time, what about half a kezayis outside the prescribed place, and a half a kezayis outside the prescribed time, so I disqualify the animal? We've already made this point yesterday, but let's just reiterate. Chutzim zman and chutzim kamo are related, are deeply related to one another. They're similar isurim. They're so similar, they can combine. Meaning we know already, we saw yesterday, that you need a shear in order to create this pigel. And the shear has to be kezayis, like most shiurim when it comes to eating food. And even though I'm thinking right now, half a kezayis I'm going to eat outside its prescribed time, and half a kezayis I'm going to eat outside its prescribed place, they combine for that full kezayis. Even though they're two different, what do you mean? What's going on? It's two different machshavas. It's similar enough where they can combine. We already know what the difference is between the two. One is an Issur Kares, one's not an Issur Kares, but still they're mitzarev if they combine. Now, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Zaklal. Okay, now so far in the Mishnah, it's a long Mishnah. So far in the Mishnah, it spells out the basic rule that the matir has to be krav kemitzvah so. As long as you do everything else correctly, and all you have is a machshava of chutz zmano, in at least one of the avodas, it is pigel. Now, Zaklav, Hoshe Machshevas Azman Karmel and Machshevas Amakom, Pigo Vechayav and Alav Kares. The Machshevas Amakom Karmel and Machshevas Azman, Pasol Vechayav and Kares. Rav Yehuda has an interesting Shita, which we're going to be spending the rest of today talking about. Rav Yehuda says like this. If in the first Avodah, let's call it Shkita. In the first Avodah, you say, Chos Azmano, and I shecht it, and as I'm shechting and I say, I'm going to eat it on the third day from now. Okay? Even in a later Avodah, let's say Kabbalah Saddam, I accept the blood and I say, Chutzim Komo. Rav Yehuda says it's still pigel. Meaning Rav Yehuda disagrees with a lot of the Mishnah that we've learned up until now. Rav Yehuda says, as long as you have started off with a machshava pigel, good. And again, I say good over here, I don't mean positive. I mean it's pigel. It's pigel. Even if later on in a subsequent avoda, I start going off on a chosim komo or a shinui kodesh, right? It doesn't matter. Rav Yehuda says, follow the first statement. The first statement is a machshava chutz zmano. Follow it. That is Shita's Rav Yehuda.
How do you get combined then? Machshava. You always have one.
Okay, good. Huh? Okay, wait. Okay, good.
Because it says Zehaklal in the Mishkan, doesn't mean that's the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda because it's Zehaklal, or
is an exception?
No, not necessarily. Okay. Not necessarily. The Chachamim Amrim, Zev is Apostle Vein Bokaris, and the Chachamim say no. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter which one comes first. If you have the Chutzim Zmano first, and then in another Avodah you have the Chutzim Komo. It doesn't matter. As long as there's another Machshava quote unquote foreign machshava that you have outside of chutzos mano, you have now taken it away from the world of pigel. It is not eligible for pigel. Pigel is when the only machshava that you have is a chutzos mano machshava.
Even after the fact of pigel, when you declared the third.
Meaning because there are four avodas. During one avoda, you had the machshava chutzos mano. The Chachamim say the later avodas are still registered. You still have to register three more avodas. And if you have another machshava of let's say just say chutzim kamon, another avoda, it's
so
that's
you
it.
Were silent on the other three.
So then it's done. Then you would have been eligible for pigel. So possible ein bo karis. Okay. One last point on the Mishnah. Lechol kechatzi zayis lahakter kechatzi zayis. Although we've been talking about combining, here's something that you can't combine. Me and the Mizbeach are not the same. Okay, the obvious difference is I'm alive, the Mizbeach is not, but right, the Mizbeach is square in shape, and I'm, well. Okay. You can't combine me and the Mizbeach. We are consumers. I'm a consumer, the Mizbeach is a consumer. That's true. But if when shechting I say, I'm going to eat a half kezias, and my friend the Mizbeach is going to eat another half of the kezias, and obviously chutzmano is what we're talking about, those don't combine to make the full shear of a kezias. Interesting. Okay, and we'll come back to that later on. Okay, we will spend the rest of today's daf, which is, today's daf is daf lamed, not like reported earlier this morning, today's daf is chavtes. That's only what we've been doing. But today's daf is daf lamed. We will spend today's daf now, daf lamed, talking about this machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. How do you understand the machlokus? How do you understand Rabbi Yehuda? It's an interesting shita. Right? Again, not one which we follow. It's not the normative accepted halacha, but still, just an understanding and concept. It's Torah.
Didn't you say that if somebody before, like if somebody makes a declaration and comes with a second declaration, the second one takes over because that?
Oh, okay, good. So you're on the right path, right? So the simple way to understand Rabbi Yehuda is the first thing that comes out of your mouth. That's it. That's what we'll take home. Anything subsequent to that is like all like. Whatever. Right?
Flattery.
Whatever. We, tfos, the words of the Gemara, not here, but in Nedarim, is tfos lashon rishon. Meaning, it's the first thing that came out of your mouth, that's what we're going to take home with us. Okay? I'm not saying that that's the explanation for Rabbi Yehuda. I'm just giving a construct of how do you understand that? Where Rabbi Yehuda says it depends which one comes out of your mouth first. Why should it depend? Meaning the whole idea of pigel is that there's no other machshava. It's just pigel and pigel alone, and you can't be ma'ariv. You can't create a mixture of pigel, of chutzos mano, of chutzim kamo.
You'd be so, able to make something unpigel if you get by the rabbanan, and by him you cannot make something unpigel.
Correct. So how do you understand the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah? Amar Ilfa. Okay, so we start with the Gemara. Machlokus b'shtei avodas. So Ilfa says, look, this position of Rabbi Yehuda, that the first machshava is the most critical, and anyone you have after that is just disregarded, that's only if it's the first machshava takes place during one avoda, and your next machshava takes place during the next avoda. However, says Ilfa, if you had both machshavas during one avoda, that's a mixture, that's a tarovis, and that's not pigel. And everybody agrees to that. Okay?
Even
Rabbi Yehuda. Af b'avoda achas, I'm sorry, erev machshavas have. Rav Yochanan disagrees with Ilfa. Rav Yochanan amar af b'avoda achas machlokis. Even in one avoda, it's going to be a machlokis. Okay. Good, stay tuned, we're going to develop Rav Yochanan a little bit later on this morning. You know, Ilfa is so much crisper in the Mishnah. Because when you go over the Mishnah, which we're not going to do now, but if you go over the Mishnah, you will see the Mishnah has been discussing avoda by avoda by avoda. The Mishnah never took an avoda and separated and segregated one avoda. Well, he had a machshava of this, and in the first half, the Mishnah doesn't do that. So the way Ilfa learns the Mishnah, it's so much crisper. So Ella, Rav Yochanan, Reisha b'shtei avodas v'sefa b'avoda achas, and according to Rav Yochanan, the whole first half of the Mishnah is all about one avoda, and then the last part of the Mishnah, machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, is talking about avoda achas, one, two machshavas and one avoda. And Rav Yochanan answers, yeah, in Reisha b'shtei avodas sefa bein avoda achas bein b'shtei avodas. Yeah, Rav Yochanan says, yeah, there's a shift in the Mishnah. He didn't see it, but it's there. Tanan. I'm Rav Yehuda Zaklali Machshavas Asman Kadmala Machshavas Amakam Pigol Bechayav and Alav Karis Bishlam Ala Rav Yochanan Haini Iktani Zaklal. Right, here's Ben where your Zaklal is being picked up in the Gemara. Right, when Rav Yehuda gives his opinion, he starts off with a very formal, this is the rule. Right, when you do that in the Mishnah, it means that you're speaking to a larger idea, to a bigger concept, Zaklal. So according to Rav Yochanan, I understand. Because Rav Yochanan says, they're not only arguing when it's two avodas, they're arguing even if it's one avoda. That's a zehaklal. Ela le'ilfa, my zehaklal. But according to Ilfa, why when Rav Yehuda started giving his opinion, he started giving it in the zehaklal, this is the rule, according to Ilfa, what do you mean this is the rule? Here's an argument. If I have a machshava of pigol followed by a machshava of chosim kamo, so they argue. What's the zehaklal? So Kashi, the Gemara says, yeah, that's difficult. Okay? So in one way, the Mishnah really speaks to Ilfa, and in another way, the Mishnah really speaks to Rav Yochanan. Okay. Tanan Hasam. Okay, so here's now what's going to be the format of the Gemara coming up. We're going to quote a Mishnah in Temura. We're going to learn a Mishnah in Temura, I should say. We're going to understand the basis of the machlokas of the Mishnah in Temura, and we're going to then tie it back to our Mishnah over here and the machlokas of Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Okay? It's easy. it's so easy. Okay. Tanan Hasan, we learned in the Mishnah over there, it's the Mishnah in Temura. Everyone remember Temura? When you try to take a carbon and exchange the carbon with another animal, meaning that I took this cow, I already registered this cow as a carbon, I didn't register it, I was makdish it, I sanctified it as a carbon, and then I go and I say, oh, wait a second, not that cow. I'll tell you what, here's another cow, I want to transfer the kedusha from this cow to that cow. So the first thing the Torah says to you is don't do that. Right, don't do that. Lo yimirenu. The Torah says, don't transfer. Right? End of Sefer Vayikra. And then the Torah goes on to say, and if you do that, hu usmura so yiyeh kodesh. They both have kedusha. So in other words, what essentially has happened is that this animal remains a carbon, and the next animal that you transfer it over to is going to be the same carbon. Hu usmura so yiyeh kodesh. Okay.
Good. You said the same carbon, you could not use it for a different type.
Correct.
Of
correct.
It has to be the same.
Now, a Mishnah and Temur discusses the following scenario. Tanan Hasam, we're five lines down on Lamed. Lamed Amud Aleph. Hareza Temurus Ola Temur Shlamim. So, what if I point to an animal and I say, this animal over here, it should be in exchange for my Ola and Shlamim? He has in his house a carbon ola and he has a carbon shlamim. And he's going to make transfer. And he points to one animal and he says to this one animal, this is going to be two things. This is going to be an ola and a shlamim. An exchange for an ola and exchange for a shlamim. Now we all know, as a carbon, you can only have one identity. You can't be an ola and a shlamim. They are different carbonas. Okay? So how do you understand that? What happens? What's the consequence? So the Mishnah says, "Harei zed tumuras ola divrei Rav Meir." So Rav Meir says, "Take the first thing out of his mouth." He says, "It's an ola." Stop. Right? Let's take our clicker and just pause. Right? Hit the pause button. Good. The animal now is an ola. Anything he says after that is just simply disregarded. He says also, "Harei zed tumur shlamim." So what? The first thing he said was ola. It's an ola, End of discussion.
Tosos
talks about it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So tomorrow's Ola Divrei Meir. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Im lekach niskav in tchila hol v'yesh lotzi shtei shemus kachas dvarav kayamim. V'im she'amar. Dvarav kayamim. So Rabbi Yossi says, wait a second. You can't do that over here. You can't just simply say the animal's an Ola. Because look, we're human beings. Maybe I really wanted it to be both, a hybrid. I just can't get both words out of my mouth at the same time. Right? Your Shabbos, we Shamar V'Zachar B'Dibur Echad. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu can do that. Kadosh Baruch Hu can say two things at the same time. Okay? But we can't. We don't have that ability. So in other words, I can't just simply say, stop right there and just take his first words. Maybe he wanted to finish a sentence, and he wanted it to be both, and he wanted it to be Ola and Shlamim, for reasons that I cannot explain to you why he wanted that. But he wanted it to be both, and he just can't get the words at the same time. I will concede the point that if he changes his mind, or in other words, he starts off by saying Ola. No, not Ola Shlamim. I concede that. But if he changes his mind, so then yes. So then it's an Ola and the discussion is over. But if he just comes out with a sentence, Hareza Ola, Hareza Shlamim, so it's both an Ola Shlamim. Now, by the way, let's just, before we go on in the Gemara, how is it both an Ola and a Shlamim? Right, how does that work? So what happens is that it has the Kedusha of both. You obviously can't be makar of it, because there's no such thing as a carbon Ola Shlamim. It doesn't exist. So what you have to do is you let it graze, develop a blemish, sell the animal, half the proceeds will go towards the purchasing of an Ola, half the proceeds will go to the purchasing of a Shlamim. Okay. That's and that's the practical side of it. We don't care about the practical side of it right now.
If you're like waiting for the, you pass the time limit on this?
Not that I know of. I'm not sure. Let me just work the Gemara. So ibayilahu, how raise that now? That's the Mishnah and Temura. And then the Gemara just asks a couple of questions. First of all, Ibailu, Hareza Tamur Solo Shlamim Mahu. Instead of saying Hareza, right, what was the language in the Mishnah? Hareza Tamur Solo Tamur Shlamim. Right? Very verbose. What if he just said Hareza Tamur Solo Shlamim? Is there a debate over there? Is Rav Meir going to be steadfast in his opinion? Take the first thing that he says. What if he says Lechatzos? What if he says halfsies? Right? Right. Rashi says this is a follow-up question, the way Rashi understands the Gemara over here. Meaning, let's assume that even in the first case, I raise it tomorrow, Ola Shlamim, it's an Ola, according to Rav Meir. What if he starts off by saying, I want half of it to be an Ola, and half to be a Shlamim? Okay. Amar Abaye Bahavade Mode Rav Meir. Rava Amar Adain Hi Machlokis. So now we are going to have a machlokus between Abai and Rava about even this, where you know full well what his intention is. You know that he wanted it to be a hybrid. You know that. Even still, Rava says, Adain hi machlokus. Rav Meir says, it is a machlokus, consistently a machlokus. Amar Rav La Abaye Ditcha Damar Bahavade Mode Rav Meir, and Rav says to Abaye, look, you know, you're funny. You think that Rav Meir is going to concede in that point over there? Hare Shchita Dilechir Lechatzos Dami Upliga. Now let's go back to our Mishnah. Okay? And this is how it all comes together. Look at our Mishnah over here. Our Mishnah over here is talking about a case of Shechita. Now, we are talking about mixing machshavas in a Shechita. Right? A machshava of chutz hazmano, a machshava of chutz hamakomo, and we're talking about putting the two machshavas together in one shechita. And we know that in our Mishnah, there's a machlokas. Now, right, heads up. Our Mishnah doesn't breathe a word of Rav Meir. right? Mm-hmm. Our Mishnah has a machlokis between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Okay, so we're going to assume that Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir are one and the same. Not the same person, but the same mentality. Mm-hmm. Right? They're thinking the same basic thought process. That just follow the first thing that comes out of his mouth. Okay? So now, okay, this is... Okay, when I said it was easier earlier, I was joking. Okay. It's not super easy, but follow, though. There is a train of thought. There is a thread. Just, you know, it's woven a little bit. Okay? Mishnah and Temura, bringing down a machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. Right? And as to whether or not, when Rav Meir says, when the guy says, Temuris Ola followed by Temur Shlamim, so Rav Meir, we know, basically says, always follow the first thing that he says. What if we know that he plans on saying two things? Are we still going to follow the first thing that he says? So, machlokas between Abai and Rava. And Rava says, Rav Meir doesn't care. Even if you told Rav Meir, I'm going to say two things, you still follow the first thing. And Rava says to Abaye, and how do I know I'm right? Because let's take now the concept of what we learned in Temura, and let's plug it back to our Mishnah here in Zvachim. Our Mishnah in Zvachim, basically the same thing, where there is a discussion about having multiple machshavas in one act. And again, when we say machshava, we do mean articulation. Where he says chutzimano, he says chutzimkomo in one.
There's a subtle difference in terms of, you know, with the zavachim here, there's an action that you're going to carry out wherever.
Okay, so wait, we're just going to... Okay, so give me a moment, okay? Very well said, just give me a moment. So So the Gemara says, look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about one avoda, and there's still a debate. So Amalei Misvar Sen Lashchita Labasof, Yesh Lashchita Mitzchel Viavsof, Umishnah Sen Adamar Simon Rishon Chutz Zmano, Simon Sheni Chutz Limkomo. So Abaye says in his defense, don't look at our Mishnah and Zvachim. Our Mishnah and Zvachim, because I'll tell you what, I know what you did and you're wrong. You made an assumption. Okay, now, okay, quickly, let's do this. The act of shechita is the act of cutting, of severing the, taking a knife and severing the trachea followed by the esophagus. Okay? That's the act of shechita. Now, that's the physical act. When we say you're shechting, legally, what part of it does it encompass? There's a major debate. One position is aimless shechita el l'besof, meaning that you're cutting. That's all preparatory work. And when you get to the last moment of cutting that last bit of the esophagus, that's the legal act of shechita. Now, how many thoughts can you hold over there? Right? Not even one. Right? Right? Whatever. Right? It's a millisecond. That's one position. Abaye says that's not the position we're following. We're following the position of Yeshna Lashchita Mitzchila V'yad Sof, which means that from the moment that the knife touches the trachea, and as he works his way through the two pipes, that's all Shechita. That's all legally Shechita. And you know what Abaye says? You know what's going on in our Mishnah? It goes like this. During the first cut of the first pipe, right, of the trachea, he says, this is for Chutzos Mano. Good. And then, as he gets to the next pipe, he says, this is Chutzim Koma. And that's what our Mishnah is talking about. So don't take our Mishnah and relate it to the debate regarding Temura, because our Mishnah is where we can easily segregate one act of Shechita, very similar to what you just said, take one act of Shechita and segregate it and say, they're two different. They're two different acts. So our Mishnah in Zvachim doesn't relate at all to the Mishnah in Temura. So leave it out. A little bit more for today. So the Gemara says, Hare kamitza delechi lechatzos dami upligi. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? When we get to Menachos, we're gonna review this whole debate again, because they have the similar debate by Mincha. Now, by Mincha, there's no shechting by Mincha. It's just a kamitza. How are you going to take that one act and separate into two? Hasam nami shechter kamitz mincha chutz zmano kamitz lavona chutz limkamo. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there are two kamitzas by every mincha. There's a kamitza of the flour, and the kamitza of the lavona of the frankincense, which is spread over most minachos. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, harei kamitz the minchas chote, the like lavona behadeu pligi. So the Gemara says, well, what about the mincha v'chote, where there's only flour and there is no lavona? Lo pligi. So the Gemara says, very simple. No, you're wrong. There is no debate when it comes to the mincha of a chote, because you're right. There's only one act of kamitza, and you can't have two machshavas during that one act. Amar Ravashi and Tim Salomar, pligi bepsiyas. Or Ravashi says, look, you don't have to go that far. You can even say they're arguing in the world of menachos. They're arguing in the avoda of holacha, where every step is its own act, and therefore you can have two machshavas even during one step. Okay, just two more lines and we're done for today. Rav Shimi Barashi Masne Kedabaye, Rav Huna Barnasa Masne Kedrava. And this machlokus between Abaye and Rava is similarly a machlokus between Rav Shimi Barashi and Rav Huna Barnasa. Good. Okay, pause over here. So today we started off our discussion about the very nature of pigul, how it has to be unadulterated with any other type of machshava. You cannot have a machshava of chutzim koma and chutzim mano, and it be pigul. It would be disqualified, but it's not pigul. What if you start off with a machshava of chutzim mano and follow it up with other machshavas as well? So the Mishnah records a debate between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rav Yehuda says you follow the first machshava. The Chachamim say no, you look at the total picture. The Gemara attempted to draw a parallel between the Mishnah and Zvachim and the Mishnah and Temura. Abaye and Rava, at this point in time, say don't draw a parallel. Because our Mishnah over here could be talking about separate machshavas during separate acts, and it's not the same like the Mishnah in Temura. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up on Shabbat.